if I asked you about the best celebration that you remember in your life, what would you say is the number one or two or three top big celebrations that you've been a part of and were enthusiastically involved in? Maybe you're at a football game and, you know, the Bears beat the Packers and you cheer, or when the Cubs finally won World Series and you're there and you part of that. But some big thing, you know, it gets to be my age and going over to a granddaughter, grandson's birthday party today is a, you know, it's a fun thing for me. So what would be your big celebration? Best one you've ever been a part of? Well, that's kind of what we're looking at today. I wrote this message for September 25th of 2022. I titled it Rejoicing in Heaven, and it's going to be a big party up there when all this takes place. And we are starting Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. You want to open your Bibles to chapter 19 of Revelations. And we finally made it past all the judgment of evil, and it's all over. And this is the party afterwards, kind of the after party of destroying evil. So my outline is entitled Rejoicing in Heaven. Point number one, a huge crowd. Point number two, 24 elders and four living creatures. And point number three, a voice from the throne. So this is what I came up for my introduction. How do you think the world will end? How do you think it's going to end? There are many ideas about that question. We have doomsday prophets and futurists and scientific ideas of what might happen. Some think there'll be a collision with giant asteroids. And that'll be what happens. And when that big one went close last year, you know, it was only a million miles away. If we would have hit that, it would have been done. Others worry about nuclear disasters. You know, growing up in the 1950s, that was a common idea. As foolish as it sounds, we used to have drills where we'd get under our desks when a nuclear holocaust took place, which is the goofiest thing ever. Because if death isn't going to do anything, you might as well go outside and watch the thing. You're going to die anyway, so you might as well just watch what's coming. Anyway, you know, that idea was back in the 50s. Has been one of the big news events of this week. Mr. Putin has, you know, put on the table that he's not afraid of a nuclear disaster to win the contest. And, you know, that's kind of a scary deal. That, again, up on the table is this terrible idea of a nuclear event, which with the toys those guys have now and we have, it wouldn't be, it'd be terrible. Well, one of the fun ideas are those who worry about the possible extraterrestrial invasion. Aliens come and destroy it. Some think we'll die from this pollution and a massive worldwide disease. Not that long ago, you know, the COVID-19 thing swept around the planet, and there was a lot of people saying that, oh, this could take place in a real way and kill everybody. But, you know, those of us who study the Bible know that history is literally his story. History is his story. If I just put a space in there and add an S to history, it's exactly what I think it's supposed to be. All of this is God's story. So, you know, God is. That's just a fact. And he's always been sovereign. So he's always been, and he's always been sovereign, and he created the earth and all that's in it. So he's been sovereign over all the events of the earth. So I'm certain that he will be sovereign over this end times. Our study of the book of Revelation repeatedly reminds us of that truth that God is sovereign. So I chose the NIV Reader's Version for our Bible study today, and Revelations 19, 1 to 5 goes something like this. After these things, I heard a roar in heaven. It sounded like a crowd shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. The way he judges is true and fair. He has judged the great prostitute. She polluted the earth with her terrible sins. God has paid her back for killing those who served him." Again, they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from the fire of her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures bowed down. They worshiped God who is sitting on the throne. They cried out, "Amen! Hallelujah!" Then a voice came from the throne. It said, "Praise our God, all who serve him. Praise our God, all who have respect for him, both great and small." That's the end. Literally the end of evil and the beginning of the real good days. So let's start with the first phrase we looked at in 19. It was after these things. And this is what they call a time key, meaning after the destruction of Babylon and at the end of the Great Tribulation and just before the kingdom is established. This section of scripture is a bridge between the tribulation and the millennial kingdom. Now, make note of this, that this is a quote from John MacArthur, and it reflects his theology. Not everyone agrees with this view that he has, but I do. I think he's got it as close as anybody. Next week in my introduction, we'll include some ideas that we studied in our small group, The End Times, recently. So we'll look at a couple of those things to kind of give you what other people believe that is different from what I believe. So here's our back to our outline. Rejoicing in heaven, point number one, a huge crowd. This great multitude is probably angels because we saints join in a little later. The imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ probably prompts this burst of praise. He's coming. A on your outline, I heard a roar in heaven, and your blank is roar. I was curious about that word. It's kind of a unique way of saying the sound, a roar, like that of a great lion, maybe. It sounded like a huge crowd shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." So that was the thing that the Holy Spirit had John write down. Salvation, glory, and power belong to our God. This word, "Alleluia," is worth taking some time to do a little unpacking on. This translation of the Hebrew word appears only four times in the New Testament, and all of them are in this chapter. So the only time that phrase is used is in this chapter we're studying right now. That's kind of interesting. It's in verse 1 and again of 3 and 4 and then finally in verse 6. This excited act of exclamation has the meaning of "praise the Lord." It occurs frequently in the Old Testament. So it only happens four times in the New Testament, but there's a lot of them scattered out through the Old Testament. The ones that I picked to note are in Psalms, and then Psalms 105, 106, 111, 112, 113, 117, and I could go on. But the point is, it's a lot back there. So stop and think with me about this. Who do you think wrote those Psalms that have that word in them? I have a good bet that's what David said. That's what David, King David, wrote down. And, you know, in the scripture, God calls David a man of my own heart. So if that's God's heart, is to be worshiped and praised like this large crowd is with their alleluias and amens, could that be a good idea for us? Maybe more praise in our day? So the concept, more praise, God's heart, more worship, that's the goal of our changing our structure of our worship time together on Sunday morning and this week, Sunday afternoon. In the next few verses, John and the Holy Spirit show us five reasons for this explosion of praise. One of them is God delivered his people from their enemies. That's in verse 1. A second idea is God's pouring out of his justice. Finally, there is justice. Evil is dealt with. The third idea is God's permanent crushing of human rebellion. Interesting, that's in verse 3. Number 4, God's sovereignty. And that's one verse further than what we did. That's in verse 6. But those are a number of things. And then the last one, number 5, God's communion with his people in verse 7. That will be a great time when we get to live with God like they designed it when they created the world. It's going to be like that again. Be on your outline. The way he judges is true and fair. So you have three blanks: judges, true, and fair. In his court, his high throne, it is always the truth, and it is always just and fair. He has judged the great prostitute. Saints, we saints, long for the day of judgment. I know some people who fear the white throne judgment, but many of us rejoice at the idea of justice being done. You see, God's people love righteousness, and they hate sin, because righteousness honors God and sin mocks him. We who are given the gift of righteousness before the Lord sanctifies and saved us, we look forward to this time. And in the meantime, we do the best we can to allow that righteousness to flow out of us and our lives look like that. I believe believers long for a world of justice, and it'll come. I believe most true believers look forward to the time that evil and all the bad guys pay for the wrong things they did. So let's go back to our outline. See on our outline. Babylon polluted the earth with their terrible sins. So your bank is polluted. And there's a lot of talk about pollution in our days and how it's affecting the climate. But this is in the spiritual sense that Babylon has polluted the world with sins. And the truth is, God paid her back for killing all those who served him. D on your outline. Again, they shouted, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they were doing that because the smoke from Babylon's fire goes up forever and ever. This fire and smoke, or what we studied back in Revelations chapter 14, verses 8 to 11. And then we looked at it again in chapter 17. And then we looked at it again in chapter 18. The smoke from the fire will go up forever and ever. That is an interesting idea in a place where there is no evil. The smoke from that will be going up forever. So back to our outline. Point number 1, a huge crowd. Point number 2, the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures, they make their entrance here. So A on your outline, the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures bowed down. So your two blanks are bowed down. This attitude and this posture of worship is an ideal lifestyle. So hit the pause button and rewind a little bit and think about, when is the last time that you got down on your hands and knees and bowed before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in your prayer time. Reading through the Bible chronologically, not long ago, we looked at Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and their willingness to not obey the king, but to obey God by getting on their hands and knees and bowing down and worshiping God facing where Jerusalem used to be. But that's not a common pattern for the proud, arrogant Americans that I know. Many are not willing to get down on their hands and knees and worship God. I had a friend that was a little older than what I am now, and he says, oh, getting down to pray is easy. It's getting up that's a challenge. And so, you know, if you start this, you might want to do it in a place where you have something you can grab onto, hang onto when you try to get up. But I think it would be a really good idea for us to consider and implement this attitude and posture into our regular prayer times. So, I think this is good for us too. The 24 elders and the four living creatures do it. I think this is good for you and I too. My best guess is that these 24 are representatives of the church. So the 24 elders are representatives of the church. And when Jesus was here and appointed leaders, probably have some of them there too. My best guess is these four living creatures are a special order of angelic beings. These four unique looking creatures are a different type, we'll call it a different breed of angels that God created. They aren't really bred, they're created, but I think those four are angels and the 24 are saints representing the church. These are the same four living creatures that we studied back in Revelation 7, verse 11. And frequently, these guys are associated with some type of worship. When we look at the Old Testament and there are visions of the prophet seeing God, those guys are repeatedly calling out hallelujah and amen. So go to B on your outline. They worship God who was sitting on the throne. So your big blank is worship and your small blank is God. They cried out, amen, and very enthusiastically, and hallelujah, very energetic. I'm sure we'll be there for this celebration. I'm sure all of us will be there and be watching that, and in a short time we'll join in. So I think it would be a good idea to start practicing this attitude today, celebrating the victory that's going to come. And in that case, in Revelations, that has come. But that would be a really good idea in these dark times that we live in, to focus on these ideas of God being eternal and sovereign and judging, and that he eventually makes right all that is wrong today. So our outline, point number one, a huge crowd. Point number two, we looked into the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Now point three, a voice from heaven, a voice from the throne. Then a voice came from the throne. Probably this is an angel's voice. But whatever the case, this voice is expressing God's will. So it doesn't necessarily matter to me who it is that says these hallelujahs to lead the cheer, but they're doing God's will. The saints respond in a joyful obedience and a heartfelt spontaneity. We join in here after they led this chorus. God's trial is completed, and it is completely satisfying to us saints. When we see how God judges evil, we are content and satisfied with that. So A on your outline, it said, praise our God, all who serve him. So your two blanks are praise God. That's a really good idea for us to do on a regular basis. This means the multitude of saints is a choir singing the heavenly hallelujah. That will be a lot of fun. Be on your outline. Praise God, all who have respect for him, both great and small. So your blank is respect. That's a great idea for our attitude, to live in respect and awe of God who created us and who sustains us. And as we've been looking through Revelations, he has a drama, I call it God's grand drama, that they wrote, and they are going to fulfill each one of those roles and each one of those scenes and each one of those events in the grand drama that they have wrote. And it will go just exactly the way the director, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want it to. So from this point forward, all distinctions and privileges of humans has ended. So now we live in a time where there is definitely a difference between the super rich and the super powerful and the common person. So we who are just common citizens and common saints living in this time will be on an equal plane with the greatest saints that ever lived. When I think about looking at Abraham and his amazing faith, or King David and his incredible heart, they will not be any more valued or cherished than you and I are. We will all be one. That'll be a lot of fun, won't it? So here's my conclusion for today. All the heavenly dwellers now praise God for, number one, his righteousness and his judgment on Babylon. Number two, they celebrate his salvation of them. Many times in the world we live in, we get this backwards. And we think of it as my salvation or our salvation, which is 180 degrees off. It is his salvation that is a gift to us. It is not anything that we did. And when we put my or our or before that comment of salvation, we're dishonoring God. It's his salvation, and he should be and must be always first. And these people in heaven had it right. So the third idea, the avenging of the blood and saints and the martyrs, that's another reason for rejoicing. Any way I look at this time in heaven, it looks like a whole lot of fun to me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your inspiring John to write this for us and for him effectively communicating to us your victory, your righteousness, your holiness, your perfect judgment, and the explosion of your creation and praise, what you always designed us to do, will finally roar through the heavens and across the earth. What a fun time that'll be. So, Father, thank you for inviting us to this celebration. Lord Jesus, thank you for paying our way in. Holy Spirit, help us in this time we live in today to maintain an attitude of praise and respect and worship for the three of you. We ask it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
With you and my soul sing. worship you.